I have to say that, as many friends of South Sudan feel, I'm disappointed in many respects. The scale of corruption has been deeply dismaying. The earliest efforts at disarmament were not well conceived. There has not been enough done to address issues of ethnic animosity and tension. At the same time, we have to remember the obstacles that this new country is up against. And we have to remember in particular that economic warfare began at the time of the secession vote, January 2011, on the part of the Khartoum regime. The Khartoum regime has, since November 2010, been regularly bombing the sovereign territory of South Sudan. The Khartoum regime is arming heavily these so-called rebel militia groups that have no political agenda. They are simply there to create civilian destruction and chaos. Most significantly, from an economic standpoint, Khartoum had made a decision not to arrive at a reasonable arrangement on oil transport north by asking $36 a barrel transit fees. They compelled South Sudan to shut down oil production in January. Now what we face in South Sudan is a very, very serious threat of inflation. And inflation is threatening for two reasons. People will lose confidence in the economy, in the currency, and the army cannot be paid. The army is much too big, but as Juba well knows, they can't massively be demobilized. There are not enough jobs. Many would end up in the pay of these renegade militia groups. It's a very, very difficult situation.
Are there lessons to be learned by the government to avoid any mistakes in future?
Well, I think they realize that corruption is going to be an ongoing problem. You don't go from these massive levels of corruption to no corruption overnight. It's going to be a long, tough, serious battle. But I believe personally that Salva Kiir is not corrupt and that he is determined to confront the problem of corruption. It seems to me that on the economic front, the lesson to learn is that they have got to figure out a way to monetize their oil reserves. They need to be borrowing money now against anticipated oil revenues in the future. They will lose a lot of money this way, but they will at least have hard currency, which they don't now. I also think they've learned lessons about how disarmament is to take place and the critical importance of doing it symmetrically so that one side does not feel it's being disarmed while another side remains armed.
The government of South Sudan also scored very low on human rights records. What should be done to improve on these issues of human rights?
I think it has to be made a higher priority. Salva Kiir has to step in. Other ministers have to step in and make it clear that the kinds of abuses that see journalists in prison, that see people shot for no reason by soldiers, that they will be held accountable. This is one area where I really do think that leadership can have a tremendous effect. There was a new report today by the Small Arms Survey, very, very interesting look at how security forces are evolving in South Sudan. And one of the points made is that the SPLA was never a coherent military force. It had some organizational coherence, but what we're calling the Sudan People's Liberation Army of the New Republic of South Sudan is very, very much in the early stages of evolution.
What about your impression about basic services? Because a lot of South Sudanese are still complaining that the basic services are not there. Talk about health services, talk about education, talk about trade and communication. They are saying these services are not there. The government in South Sudan has been receiving the oil revenue for quite a long time, since 2005.
I think we are seeing in the scale of corruption why many of these public services were not provided. At the moment, the Juba government is essentially bankrupt. There really is no hard currency backing up the South Sudanese currency. And my fear, since inflation is already very high, is that you could have hyperinflation. Hyperinflation would mean that there's no currency that can be used even for domestic transactions. There would be no meaningful currency in which to pay. those who teach, those who are police, those who collect the garbage, those who maintain roads. There has to be an influx of hard currency. And if there's not, then the problems with provision of public services is going to deteriorate further. The ugly truth is the South has no money. And until they can get money from oil revenues, that will give them the breathing space to allow them to develop the industries that will really matter. South Sudan should not put all its eggs in one basket.